they are, as I mentioned, some things that people don't always like to think about, but really should think about. What do I get? What's my standard benefit if I'm a federal employee and something long-term happens to me, I have some kind of disability?
Right, Francis. A lot of times I get questions when I teach seminars that employees wonder, you know, why don't we have disability insurance as federal employees? Because, you know, they sell health insurance and long-term care, but no disability insurance. And the purpose of disability insurance is if someone's sick or have an accident and they can't come to work, that this would be like income replacement. And we don't have it. So what federal employees do have instead are two things. For short-term disabilities, they have sick leave. And for long-term disabilities, they have disability retirement under either civil service or under the FERS system. And if they're injured on the job, they have workers' compensation. So those are the things we use in the federal service to cover disabilities.
Are they pretty standard equivalents to what people have in the private sector if they have disability insurance?
Well, it would depend. For instance, you know, with the sick leave to cover a short-term disability, you have to have some sick leave to be able to cover it. So if you don't have a balance in your sick leave account, or if you're a relatively new federal employee where you just haven't had a chance to save it up, then it may not cover, you know, very much time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, employees can earn 104 hours a year, which that adds up to 6 months of sick leave after 10 years, a whole year of sick leave you earn if you work for the government for 20 years. So if you're very careful how you use it and try to save it just for those big emergencies, then it can serve as that short-term disability protection.
Is there a rule of thumb about trying to figure out whether you should or shouldn't go into the private marketplace and try to buy yourself some disability insurance?
Well, that would be one example where an employee doesn't have a lot of sick leave and they're worried that, you know, because you never know when that bus is coming down the street.
Exactly.
Run you over.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you want to cover something for the short term that you don't have already because you haven't saved up the sick leave and you don't trust that leave bank to be able to cover you in case something happens, then it might be worth purchasing maybe just a short-term policy. Now, in the event of a more serious illness, or if you're injured where you can't come back to work for a year or permanently, then you have the retirement route. And under the old retirement system, the employees who are under the CSRS system, their disability benefit pretty much matches their retirement benefit if they have enough service. And most of the CSRS employees now have at least 22 years of service, which would qualify them for the same earned benefit as if they had retired the day they went on disability. So
mm-hmm.
they're pretty well covered. The FERS employees, they have a system that's almost like a private disability policy. In the first year that a FERS employee becomes disabled, they get 60% of their high three average salary. But that 60% is going to be offset by anything they would also get from Social Security because they have to apply for both.
Uh-huh.
Now, after that first year, then that 60% benefit drops to 40%, so it goes a lot lower. So if they didn't qualify for Social Security, then they're going to have a deficit. You know, they're not going to be able to pay their bills most likely on just the 40%.
Yeah.
So a disability policy might cover that
mm-hmm.
if they didn't qualify for the Social Security, because as you probably know, Social Security has a pretty strict definition of being disabled.
Uh-huh.
Pretty much can't work.
Right. Mm-hmm. It sounds like if I'm FERS, this is something that I should at least think about.
I would say possibly. Now, these policies, I don't know the price of them, but I do know that they're relatively expensive. So
mm-hmm.
if you talk to an insurance agent, just make sure that you understand that you have these basic benefits, and you're really looking for something that would just supplement that
mm-hmm.
in addition to it.
Are you getting a sense when you go out to these seminars and teach them what people are thinking when it comes to just the overall approach that Congress seems to be taking toward federal pay and benefits? What kind of feelers are they giving you?
Fear. A lot of fear.
Yeah.
You know, people are thinking, should I retire before all these changes take place? But I start out my seminars with a memo that I received, and the memo outlines all these proposed changes, you know, the high three to the high five, the change in the health benefit premium, the change in the age for retirement. You know, when I'm finished reading off all these proposed changes, I tell them the date on the memo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dated 1985. So these same things we're hearing about this year, we've been hearing about year after year after year. I think we might be a little more concerned this year because the climate is such, you know, with two wars going on and we've got economic problems, we've got natural disasters, that people just feel like maybe we need to make some sacrifices. But, you know, so far none of those things have gone into a bill other than the pay freeze. So, you know, we're just watching and waiting and seeing what happens. I'm trying to tell employees not to get too nervous about it and too excited about it, because you have a lot of union groups, a lot of representatives for federal employees who are, you know, trying to prevent those changes from actually taking effect.
Tammy, it's always great to see you on Mondays when you're here to do For Your Benefit. That's every Monday at 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's